are Locked On Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Of course, the NBA is still in lockdown mode, so who knows how we're all wasting our time to wait until NBA games come back. So what I thought I'd do today, I know there's a huge crossover between people that listen to this show and that do follow the WWE, and with WrestleMania just a few days away, I thought what we'd do is do a bit of a recap on an old WWE pay-per-view. To do that, I am joined not only by Michael Bolton,
let's get to it,
but of course by my head of meme research and development, the creator of the Rudy Gobert sound drop.
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert.
It is, of course, my son, Ben Lloyd. Ben, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Dad, Josh, whatever you want to call him. I obviously am here today, not only because, but I really like watching WWE. I've watched basically every WrestleMania, I've watched lots of SummerSlams, all Survivor Series.
Yep.
So, like, I'm going to just be here to talk 35, which was obviously last year, MetLife Stadium in New York. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Quite yes. Decent. So we look, this podcast, we're recording this a few days early before it comes out. So by the time this comes out, WrestleMania is going to be just a few days away. Of course, they're moving it to the Performance Center in wherever their Performance Center is. I think it's in Atlanta. Orlando. There you go. Orlando. So they're moving it there from Tampa Bay. No crowd, but we are a few days away. So we decided to look back at WrestleMania 35. Ben, this again, it was a year ago. Some interesting things happened during this WrestleMania. We're going to try and touch on most of those. Of course, the way it started off. Now, can you explain to me something? Now, again, you said you've watched all these WrestleManias. You can. We always have these contests. You go through it and name every main event from every WrestleMania ever, even including the first 20 before you were born or so. But why do they have a host? Like, what's the point of having Alexa Bliss come out and be the host? Like, why does she come out and say, yeah, I'm your host? Like, what's the point of this? Why isn't she wrestling?
Honestly, I don't know. Alexa Bliss is a great talent. She's really good at wrestling. But the hosts, usually the hosts have something special in store. Like, I remember New Day host of WrestleMania 33. They were the ones to announce the Hardy Boys returning, which I'm very happy about because I love the Hardy Boys. And then, like, there was obviously The Rock at WrestleMania 27 as the host.
Like, yeah, but The Rock wasn't wrestling. He wasn't really wrestling, though. He was just sort of there as a celebrity. Like, Bliss should be wrestling.
I know, but like Rock, what he did was he restarted the main event. So like the hosts often do something special. I'm not saying that Alexa Bliss was the right choice for host because she's obviously a great wrestler. But I mean, now with a moment of Bliss pretty much every week, like she's a bit more of a talk show host than a wrestler, I think.
She's like, turning into like the Xavier Woods of the women's division. Is that like ever wrestle, apart from just getting the occasional shot outside the ring?
No.
Yeah, but he's great.
He does wrestle, though.
Oh, how often?
He wrestled, there was a gauntlet match for the tag team to get Kofi into the WWE Championship match, and so that him and Big E had to wrestle.
It just feels like he's always just out there with the trombone or, you know, doing any, he's fantastic, he's super entertaining, but he just feels like it's always Big E and Kofi doing the wrestling heavy lifting.
Yeah, and for me, I reckon that's smart because, like, Kofi and Big E are better wrestlers than Xavier, in my own opinion.
Yeah, I think that's true as well.
Everyone's entitled to their own.
They are. A lot of people have wrong opinions, but they're entitled to them. Now, Alexa Bliss comes out. She introduces Hulk Hogan wearing some nice Jordans, which I thought was good. What did you think of Hogan's appearance? Like, he'd been sort of banned, I guess, from WWE for a few years before this. Did you think the crowd reacted to him in a good way?
I think so.
It was weird. He was obviously still doing the same stuff that he's done for 30 plus years, and who knows if he's ever going to come back to WWE again. But then after that, Paul Heyman comes out, and Heyman, fantastic. Like, we used
I
to think
I back in
he's so good. Back in the day, Hulk was always the guy. I love hearing him talk. Heyman comes out, he just destroys him. He's so good in terms of the way he's talking, saying about, look, if Brock's not going to be the main event, like, we got to get this stuff out of the way now. So then we have that Universal title match, Brock versus Seth Rollins. Who are you? Like, let's just get it out there. Like, what do you think of Brock?
Brock Rock is the biggest idiot ever. They push him so much, like, just like, I feel like every year leading into WrestleMania, he has a title.
Yeah, it feels that way. And then he, you know, wrestles, you know, four times during the year, pretty much. So
yeah, yeah. So, like, even though, like, even if you haven't watched WrestleMania 35, Kofi beats Daniel Bryan. And then Kofi just defends it for, like, ages against Dolph Ziggler, otherwise known as It Should Have Been Me. And then he goes and defends it against Brock on SmackDown in the match that goes for less than a minute. Brock just gets him in their five and wins. It's like, it's so stupid. Look, they make him win straight away.
Yeah, look, Brock's he's a fantastic athlete. Look, to be that size,
he's so strong,
and be he's a crazy athlete. You remember a couple of years ago, maybe it was 33, I don't know which one it was, when he was like fully like leaping over an upright body of, it may have been Roman Reigns. He just, as he went for the spear, he just jumped over him, like just standing style, like just crazy athleticism. But you're right, the way that they use him there, if it wasn't for Heyman, he'd be even more insufferable. But Heyman's fantastic. Rollins comes out with a big Beast Slayer across the giant board at the back. Why is he? Yeah. I don't get why these guys wear vests. Like, he comes out in his big vest and then just takes it straight off. It's a weird look, just a vest with no shirt. Anyway, so he comes out. He gets attacked before the start of the match even starts. Lesnar's hitting him.
Honestly, my opinion, just start the match. That attack went on absolutely forever.
It was so long. It went, I reckon, at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was the longest part of the match.
Yeah, it was. And
actual match went for less than the attack at the start.
It went for ages, and Lesnar was so red. His face was like a tomato.
He was actually a tomato. Did you say Rollins is back?
Yeah, he had that massive red stripe.
It was absolutely stuffed.
Yeah, he was. And Heyman's out there just continually like yelling at Rollins, because calling him the Beast Slayer when he's laying on the ground. It was so good.
That was the best.
It was so good. And then he...
obviously, Heyman does that because Brock actually can't talk.
Yeah.
Like, his voice is just so stupid.
Brock on the mic is not ideal. But then, of course, they reverse the momentum. Seth whacks him in the old nutsack and turned it around. And then the curb stomp. Was that the first return of the curb stomp? Because he dropped three on Brock here.
He did it in the Rumble.
Okay, but then it had been banned for years.
That's how he eliminated Strowman. Yeah, it had. I don't know if he did it like the previous year, because I hadn't watched many like Raw and SmackDowns, but he definitely did it to win the Royal Rumble.
Okay, so you drop three curb stomps onto Lesnar, and then pins him after that third curb stomp, and wins the Universal title, which, again, I really like Rollins. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. I think that's the same case for you as well, and it was good to see him have that get that title back off Brock Lesnar there.
But also, I think don't like berate me in the comments, but like, I think that was Rollins' second World Championship reign.
I think it wasn't.
He'd never gotten the Universal title after he lost to Bella.
Yeah, that's right. That's his first. That's his first Universal title there.
That was his first Universal.
So that's about what three years it took to get that for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then I've been watching some clips. I watched his backstage clip after that match, and he went backstage. Obviously, I think he's married to Becky Lynch now.
Yes.
And then, like, they had an embrace. And he spoke to her backstage after that match.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it at the time, but at the end of watching this, I thought, because, spoiler alert, at the end, Becky Lynch wins the title. To have both Becky and Seth win the titles together, I thought that was a pretty cool moment. After that, after that game, we had Jerry the King Lawler come out, and I thought that was weird that when Lawler, they were interesting, they just had this weird cutaway of Brock Lesnar walking out of the ring like he dislocated his shoulder. No mention of it. It made no sense. Like, he was walking out like he was actually legitimately injured.
Never hit him in the shoulder.
Then what? I don't know what it was. I felt like that clip wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And it just was like, maybe he actually was injured, and that's why they made him lose the belt, because he needed some time off. But it was like, you never see that clip of them walking back when nothing's going to come of it. It was just a weird sort of cutaway. There's a few other weird things in this one. The next game, next match was Styles Orton. We don't need to talk too much about this one. We saw
The ending was good.
He
obviously kicked out of the RKO, and then he tried, like, Styles went for the phenomenal forearm, and as he was jumping off the ring ropes, Orton tried to grab him into an RKO. Styles pushed him away and got the forearm, and then got the three count. So that was a good match.
After that one, there were a few weird things in this entire WrestleMania. Lacey Evans comes out.
Just walked out. Turns around, goes back.
What was the point of it? Actually, didn't do anything.
I don't know.
It was... And there's another one later on, which is stupid. There's another one later on, which is almost as stupid, I think, and maybe equally as stupid. But that was pretty weird. Next up, we had the SmackDown tag title match. It was a fatal four-way. The Usos, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev. They're calling Nakamura the artist known as Shinsuke. What was that? Is that something now?
I don't know, mate. Gold Dust, maybe?
Don't know.
And then that's what they used to call Gold Dust.
Okay. And then we had Ricochet and Aleister Black as the last one.
I love Ricochet. He's so good.
He wrestled so well in this. Like, he was super athletic. Yeah. But they were giving Black like the biggest like pump. He was the last guy introduced in this one. Huge, huge intro for Black. They've also made Rusev. Now, again, I don't watch this as much as what you do or pay as much attention. But remember when they made Rusev Russian? Now he's back to being Bulgarian? Yes. That's just forget that he just changed nationalities?
Yep.
He
was with Lana, which doesn't obviously happen anymore.
Oh, so what?
That was a bit different.
What happened with them?
Lana's with Bobby Lashley now.
Ah, okay.
I
didn't know that Aleister Black was from Amsterdam. That was a weird one. He comes out with this big jacket with like teeth all over it. Saber-tooth tiger teeth.
Sick.
And then explain this to me. The SmackDown tag bouts got the blue straps. Why have they got like Spartan helmets on them? What does that signify anything? It seems odd. It seems out of place.
I think it's about like warriors. I honestly don't know, but they've had that design for ages. So like they've had it since I think 2014 on the unified tag belts, and then they went back to Raw and SmackDown, and they kept the same design, just changed the strap.
Okay.
So honestly, I don't know why the Spartan helmet's on there, but like yeah.
All right, now before we get into the rest of this match, I do have to pay the bills here, so it's time for me to talk to you guys about Blinkist. It's one of the ultimate life hacks. Sometimes it's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. We now have that free time. Well, we've all got a lot of free time, but that just means you can get through more stuff now. So there is an incredible app that solves your problem of getting through this information. I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. It is unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down just into 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, business leaders, they're well known for reading a lot of books, and Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so that you can start using that information right away. 12 million people use Blinkist right now and has a massive growing library from self-help, business, health, and history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic non-fiction titles you were always meant to read but you never had the time. Blinkist is great just getting that information in while you're out for a walk, while you're driving in the car, while you're sitting around in isolation with nothing else to do. Cram your brain full of that information. You can read books like Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, or How Champions Think in Sports and in Life by Dr. Bob Retallah and Bob Cullen. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your 7-day trial for free. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, so back to this to this tag match, there was Cesaro had the swing going for it felt almost as long as the Lesnar beatdown outside the ring.
Yeah, and then it was just Sheamus just going.
Yeah, just those
to absolutely everyone. Then Cesaro finally stopped and got him in a sharpshooter, and then there was this weird camera angle. I don't know if this was supposed to happen, but Jimmy Uso was on the side and he was sort of like looking up at the ring and waiting for Cesaro to finish the sharpshooter, for him to get in and break the hold.
There were so many weird things like that happen. Like there was just weird camera cuts. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, that was a weird one as well. How about that one where seven of them all got up on the ropes for that giant suplex?
Oh yeah, that was sick.
We had Ricochet in the middle of it, and then he's the one that flipped out. That was a pretty athletic move, and everyone else dropped back down. And then we had the Usos drop that double splash onto Sheamus to get the win and to keep the SmackDown tag team titles. Then we had the Hall of Fame part there. We had Degeneration X, Harlem Heat, Honky Tonk Man, Beefcake. Go ahead.
The Hart Foundation and Tori Wilson. But when the DX thing was going on at WrestleMania and they showed all the screen effects, it actually seemed like I was going to get a photosensitive epilepsy attack.
It was crazy.
It was wild.
Yeah, it was. There was just stuff flipping all over the screen the whole time. And it's so odd that, like, yeah, Triple H, we know he's a big part of this, but to see him, like, he has, like, this persona where he comes out, leather jacket, and he's doing, you know, a screw McMahon, and then he goes out there and he's like, no, I'm working for McMahon. Like, it's like two completely different, you know, people in those sort of situations. We all know what it's about, but it's just weird to see him transition back and forth.
Yeah.
Next one.
And it was good that they acknowledged China as well, and it was good to see X-Pac again. Yeah.
You're an X-Pac fan? Not many people are. I'm watching at the moment 93 WWF, and it's when he's debuting as 123 Kid. It's pretty weird.
Oh, let's go.
So I'm in the middle of Survivor Series 93 at the moment, and it's wee so small. Anyway, the next game, talking about McMahon's, The Miz versus Shane McMahon, a Falls Count Anywhere match. I thought it was fantastic, this game.
I love both of these because they're so good on the mic.
Yeah.
Obviously, I love the Miz on the mic. I reckon he's the best heel in the business. But in this match, he wasn't the heel, and I found that pretty weird. But then I realized it's always with the McMahons. It's always family.
Yeah.
When they're wrestling.
Always.
It's always about family. Always.
Every time. Shane's.
And then Shane was awesome because he kept stopping the announcer and just kept saying, "Oh, like." Make you repeat the best in the world. And it was just so weird because he won a trophy and now apparently he's the best in the world.
It's such a weird thing for them to keep pushing because, like, we all know that Shane McMahon isn't the best wrestler in the world. I know he won that weird title in Saudi Arabia, but he obviously isn't. Yeah. But it's like no one goes, well, we all obviously believe this. Like, it just, you can say whatever you want about him because he does some crazy things for a bloke that's not actually a wrestler or a full-time guy. The stunts that he pulls off are pretty crazy, but he's obviously not the best in the world, so that's pretty weird. What'd you make of the Miz's dad?
I love his fight stance.
he actually doesn't know, like, how to hold. And I don't know if it's deliberate, but he holds his arms so super wide, and they're out. I don't know if you can see this on the video. Just arms out, like. And then Shane was like trying to tell him how to hold his arms better to fight. It's like literally he's never seen anybody shape up for a punch ever in their life. It is so weird. And he's wearing like suit pants but an oversized baggy t-shirt with him. Like, can you put this guy in some clothes that makes sense?
It was weird. And then obviously Shane attacked him, Miz went spaz, and then they went into the stands, started fighting there.
Yeah.
What about the camera tower?
Yeah, that was now, very
obviously.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go. No, you go.
Also, it's very reminiscent of Undertaker Triple H WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So it's except really cool.
This one's Falls Count Anywhere. I don't remember if Undertaker Triple H was Falls Count Anywhere, but like Falls Count Anywhere matches always are crazy, and that Undertaker Triple H match was so similar to this with the camera towers and everything.
Yeah. Well, we
also, I think it's a bit similar to Super Showdown 2018, the first Super Showdown.
The one we went to.
In Melbourne. They went out and brought in the crowd, Undertaker and Triple H.
Yeah, I was going to say that exact same thing. It was very similar to that. Now, how about that camera tower, that suplex off of that? It was crazy. And then as they do it, Shane lands. They're both sort of knocked out with his arm across the Miz's chest and gets the pin that way.
I liked that, though.
I liked it. I liked it as a finish as well, because it wasn't something we really ever saw coming. But again, they didn't really focus in to see that the pin was starting. It was just like, what's actually going on here? And then there was the pin in that one. Go ahead.
In that, they had that crazy ref. You know, the blonde-haired ref that goes crazy?
What's his name? Charles Robinson?
Like, you can always see him like this. Yeah, you can always see him in the background going like this.
I think it's Charles Robinson, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, and he's the guy that flies in from the side and his hair flops up. Yeah, he is a good ref though, but he's weird.
He really gets into it.
Yeah, he is. After that, we had the women's tag title Fatal 4-Way. Paige came out to be a guest commentator. For that one, there was a weird pairing of Natalya and Beth Phoenix. And this was weird to me, Benny, because you know Beth Phoenix from years ago. She's only 2 years older than Natalya. That doesn't make any sense to me. And Beth Phoenix is out there saying, oh, I wouldn't be in the WWE if it wasn't for the Hart family and, you know, for Brett and for Owen and for Jim and for Natalya. Was she looking up to Natalya when Natalya wasn't wrestling? Okay, oh, that didn't make sense. But I couldn't believe they were almost the same age.
Yeah. They're really good friends, though, I think, because I'm pretty sure they're both Canadian. I'm pretty sure Beth Phoenix is also Canadian.
I will.
She's married to Edge.
Okay, and he's Canadian, yes?
He's Canadian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm pretty, let's have a look. She is, No, she's American. There you go.
Is she?
Yeah, she's from New York.
Okay. So she hometown match.
Exactly. So she was in there with Tamina and Nia Jax with the Iconics and the Boss and Hug Connection. Actually, one of the worst tag team names that you'll get, I'd say. It's terrible. There's no excuse for that. But anyway, we won't talk too much about this one. The Iconics get the pin. They steal the pin on Bayley.
I think it was a glam slam. I don't really know what a glam slam is, but I'm pretty sure that was what it was.
And of course, a championship for the Aussies, the Iconics. The next one here. Kofi and Daniel Bryan. Now I'm gonna let you talk about this one for a bit because I know you're big onto this one. But it is wild to me that Vince McMahon's idea of a heel is someone who cares about the environment. Oh, look at Daniel Bryan. How disgusting that he's telling us to care about the environment. What a bad guy. What a terrible, terrible person that he cares about the environment. It is the wildest like type of angle. And the commentator's like feeding into it. You don't have to agree with his views, but you can't deny his abilities. Like, all right, guys, calm down. And just completely going against him having a sustainable belt. Like, that was the worst thing. Like, I can't believe we've finally got the proper belt back. It was bizarre to me. But anyway, what did you think of this match?
I think, obviously, I love the New Day. They're my favorite wrestlers. Kofi's my favorite of the of all of them. I just love Kofi's career. Like, he started off as a Jamaican, even though he's not Jamaican. He's actually African. I think he's from Ghana. Not too sure,
I think that's right.
He's from Ghana.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And he's the first African-born WWE champion. So, very inspirational, Kofi.
Correct, he is from Ghana.
Also, it took him 11 years to reach this point. Not even to just win the title, but to have a one-on-one championship chance. Because, obviously, he had one in the Elimination Chamber. Like,
yeah, five other people.
So, it was
a great push to get Kofi into this spot. And it felt like, finally, the WWE was sort of listening to the direction that fans wanted to get things to go.
Also, I feel like it's a bit ironic because 5 years previous, it was Daniel Bryan in the same position.
Yeah, that's true. Proven. That's true.
So it was kind of odd that they were putting Daniel Bryan as the bad guy. It was like they had the Yes Movement versus Kofi Mania.
All right, so
and it was very similar.
I want to just your thought on wrestling attire. If you were to be a wrestler, yeah, would you go out in Kofi colorful pants or Daniel Bryan oversized undies with knee pads?
Definitely colorful pants.
I don't understand this look of wearing like just the trunks. That it's literally just undies that cover his belly button with then long boots and knee pads. It is a strange look.
It's the same as Rusev's. He's a massive.
He had huge jocks on. They were almost touching his boobs. They were that high. It's not a good look. And especially for someone who's short like Bryan, it looks like you're wearing pants but just forgot that little bit in the mid thigh to cover it. That doesn't make any sense. No undies, always pants. If you need to, you can go the shorts, you can go for the romper like Kurt Angle if you want, but just we don't need undies with knee pads on.
Yeah.
So in this one here, we got there was one where Kofi got back into the ring after the New Day went Xavier Woods and Big E they went
kept attacking Owen. They kept Night Hour on the floor.
The Rowan and Daniel Bryan pairing is ridiculous to begin with. But the New Day got those guys. They got Rowan. Kofi got back into the ring. And
where was the count?
He pulled it. He definitely pulled that count, didn't he? He slid his hand. It just came straight up. That was a definite pull. And again, there was just a few of those things in this whole pay-per-view that were just a little bit. I can see what's going on here. Kofi wins with the Trouble in Paradise. It felt like he was getting beaten the entire match. Like it just didn't feel like it was a realistic turn.
And then he just hit his finisher.
I know.
Also, he did hear his SOS before, though.
But we've seen so many finishes throughout the whole night not have any impact, and Kofi was getting belted for 10 minutes. He lands a couple of moves, and then Daniel Bryan can't get up at all.
Yeah. It was the same as the Rollins match, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So he wins the belt.
I don't get this with the Rollins match. Brock is such a strong guy. He's on the floor for about 2 minutes afterwards holding his nutsack.
Maybe he's got very sensitive testicles.
Maybe, but like, surely a bloke that big has better brain threshold. And it was just stupid.
Yeah, it was. It was a weird, just like no sort of build up to get that turnaround going. And the same happened to this one. But he did get that belt back. He got rid of the sustainable belt. And everyone was so happy that they got the real belt back. And yeah, it was a pretty emotional moment for Kofi after working for so long. And the New Day in there, they pulled out their t-shirts and his kids were there. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good.
Then we got onto some stuff that wasn't as fantastic. We had a replay of the Battle Royal with Braun Strowman against Saturday Night Live people for God knows what reason. Booker T came out as the announcer for the Rey Mysterio-Samoa Joe match. It appeared that Mysterio was injured. That match lasted about 2 minutes. And this is something I don't like, Ben. But why have a guy who's as big as Samoa Joe, as powerful and strong, and you give him a submission chokehold as his move? Like, make him do something that inflicts physical damage. Not like, oh my God, he's so big, he's going to put me to sleep. Why do they do it?
I don't know.
I think those moves should be... I'm not going to call him just now, maybe later, but I feel like those submission moves should be for the technical guys. The Sharpshooter and yeah. Bret Hart makes sense. The Yes Lock, Daniel Bryan, it makes sense.
Samoa Joe is a technician, though.
But he's also massive and strong, and they build him up to be this scary beast.
Yeah.
And then he comes in and puts him in a headlock, and that's his move. I want to see. Yep. I want to see more from that. Like, I think submissions should be for those guys who do, you know, don't have as much power and can't, you know, put guys away in that sort of a way. But hey, I don't like that move from them. The next match was two of your favorites, Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, coming out. Of course, Roman returning. Now, okay, so.
For once, I actually favored Roman Reigns in a match. Not only because he came back from leukemia, but I absolutely despise Drew McIntyre.
So you can't wait for WrestleMania this year with Drew McIntyre after winning the Rumble?
Oh, yeah, I actually genuinely hope he wins. I hate Brock more.
Interesting. So you're rooting for McIntyre over Lesnar?
The two championship matches at this year's WrestleMania are absolutely horrendous for me.
Okay, what's the other one? Because I don't know what it is.
Roman,
yeah.
Goldberg.
Oh, is that a championship match? That is rough.
So we have Goldberg versus Boorman Veins.
That's rough.
It's not happening.
That is very, very rough indeed. What was McIntyre wearing the undies as well? They were like shiny plastic leather.
Yeah. It was weird.
That was a strange look as well. Anyway, Reigns gets that win with a spear. Yeah, I think he was always going to win. Good for him.
Yeah, it was obvious.
Yep.
I mean, good on him for getting back from leukemia, though. I feel like everyone felt really bad when he told them that he had leukemia because they booed him so much.
I think that's pretty true. But hey, he's back in action. I don't think they're booing him necessarily. I think they're booing the way that WWE portrays him. And they should have just turned him heel so long ago. Like that clip you showed me the other day of him getting booed after beating Undertaker at WrestleMania. Like that's when they should have just turned him heel, because he was booed like for like 8 minutes straight, and everyone hated him. So just turn him. It was an obvious one. Let's go through a little bit more of what happened here. A quick John Cena comes out back to the old Thuganomics Cena, which was weird. He was saying some cringy type comments. Although some of his stuff was pretty okay. He says, "I feel like I'm watching one of my movies because this whole damn thing sucks," which. Hey, fair enough, because I haven't seen The Marine, but apparently it's pretty terrible. Your face looks like my nuts.
Except you've got a hairier bush.
that was a wild one. And then he had those knuckle dusters on.
Some shih tzu. And then they show the picture of Elias as a dog.
Yeah, that was weird. And then he just five knuckle shuffled him, AA, and then that was it. So that was a quick one.
Well, it wasn't the AA, it was the FU.
Sorry.
Because he created the AA straight on. Like, he created the AA, and he called it the FU because it was a move to mock Lesnar's F5.
Ah, okay.
So, like, F5, FU. And then he called it AA, obviously, because of reasons.
Yes.
And then he called it back to the FU for this one time. So, yeah. Honestly, I think it'll be interesting, Fiend versus Cena at WrestleMania this year. And also, I don't know why, but... Bray Wyatt wasn't at the WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't. Maybe he was injured.
I don't know if he was injured. Maybe, but, like, he's one of the biggest stars now.
Yeah, that was weird. That's a year later. I don't know. Yeah, that's weird. All right, next one was Batista and Triple H. We start off with a clip of Batista dragging Ric Flair out, unconscious out of his...
70th birthday. birthday.
Yes, in his 70th birthday. And of course, this whole storyline leading up to this gave birth to this fantastic meme.
Give me what I want!
And then what he wanted was a match with Triple H. If Triple H lost, he had to retire from wrestling, I believe. We had Batista's co-star in the Stuber movie, Kumail Nanjiani, in the crowd there. Who do you reckon at the now or at their peak had the better rig, better body? Whose body was better?
Batista's peak was better, but Triple H has maintained himself
better. Yeah, I'd say that.
2011, he was fat, but like now he's a lot stronger.
Yeah, Triple H's body is absolutely ridiculous. Batista come in, and as I was watching this, I go, why is he wrestling with a nose ring? That seems weird. And then, of course, that paid off a little bit later as Triple H got those plier-type things and pulled it out.
Yeah. Also, Shawn Michaels was special guest commentator this match.
Yes, it was a no-holds-barred.
And his voice is so wheezy.
Yeah, it's...
But Triple H hit a pedigree, and I was like, oh my God, that's the pedigree!
Is it more wheezy than Vince McMahon's whatever gravel voice he uses?
I don't know.
Watching those old 93 SummerSlams and Survivor Series, McMahon's the commentator there, and he's just so over the top and so gravelly. I don't know if he actually talks like that for real or if he's just putting it on, but it's pretty wild. So in this one, did you see when at the start it was almost a Titus World Slide moment? Was Batista was getting into the ring and he slid under the bottom rope?
Yeah, he tripped. Yeah. He tripped.
Yeah. It wasn't quite Titus World Slide, but we almost got there.
No. Yeah.
And Batista's head, it looked like a kaffir lime. It was so wrinkled.
Yeah, it was so wrinkly. So is Triple H's, though.
Yeah, it was.
But his forehead is wrinkly.
Yeah, that's not
as wrinkly as Batista.
How was that thing when Batista went for the Batista bomb outside the ring, and then Triple H reversed it, backdropped him onto the announce table, and it didn't break. Like, when it breaks, it gives that cushion, but he, like, bounced off it. That didn't look like it was supposed to happen that way.
Yeah.
And then Ric Flair comes out, gives this sledgehammer to Triple H. I reckon I've seen that Triple H with the sledgehammer that many times, and I don't think I've ever seen him actually use it. Like, he always goes to, and then it gets knocked out of his hands. But he actually...
Yeah.
He used it this time. Of course, he had his hand covering the metal part when he hit him, but I've never actually seen him use it without it getting knocked away beforehand.
Yeah.
And then he goes into a pedigree and pins Batista for the win. Then we had this weird segment of Bo Dallas and
this was so bad.
Kurtle Axel wearing...
And then Von Simmons just comes out and goes, damn, why?
There was so many of these weird things. Then we had JBL come out to be a guest commentator for Kurt Angle's final match against Baron Corbin.
JBL's a good commentator.
Terrible wrestler.
Not gonna lie. Terrible wrestler. Yeah. Commentator.
And then Corbin, I don't know, again, we talk about, like, I'm very much into what are they wearing. Like, why is Corbin wearing a black dress shirt when he wrestles? He's, like, just wearing, like, corporate attire, like black shirt, black pants. He might as well wear...
Now he's King Corbin because he won King of the Ring.
Oh, did he? Okay. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Angle, I thought the most impressive thing here with Kurt Angle, look, he's got a pretty good body still. His head looked ridiculously old compared to it, but he was able to get up and do that moonsault, which was crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they gave Corbin the win. It didn't really make a huge amount of sense.
No. Farewell matches, they always usually make the one that's leaving win.
Yeah, this especially, and like, for what purpose for Corbin? Anyway, Bobby Lashley, Intercontinental title, comes out with this Leo Rush, who actually looked half his size. Like, that looked crazy. It looked like he was bringing out, like, a Make-A-Wish kid with him. He was that small. And then he had the yellow, did you see the yellow contacts in his eyes?
Yeah.
I thought that was sick.
Yeah.
He looked crazy imposing with those in. And again, in that matchup against Finn Balor, who came out in his whole demon attire, which, how long do you reckon that takes?
And it was sick. The paint.
Yeah, how long
the paint across here was the WrestleMania logo.
How long do you reckon that takes for him to sit down and get his whole chest
and
back?
At least a day.
At least a day.
And his face as well.
Yeah, his face was full covered. Nothing was spare on his face.
Change it from demon and not demon?
Yeah, is there any reason behind it? Like, when he comes out as demon or not?
No, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. Balor gets the win with a coup de grace and wins the Intercontinental title after a powerbomb. But again, it was another one of those ones where Lashley was just dominating the whole time. Two moves from Balor and then it's over.
It was like the Rollins... it was... Most of the men's championship matches, singles championship matches, were like that. Pretty much all of them, actually.
And then we had probably the most inexplicable thing of this whole situation. Alexa Bliss comes out and talks about, you know, the MetLife Stadium attendance record, which of course is a load of crap. But then she just kept saying, it's time for a break. It's time for a break. And then R-Truth and Carmella come out and then they start flossing. What was going on? That was there was plenty of weird things going on. That was one of the weirdest.
Carmella and R-Truth just do this random thing called a dance break. They did it in Mixed Match Challenge. And R-Truth literally just did Fortnite dances. Like, that's actually how cringy WWE is.
Yeah, because you're off Fortnite now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. All about
that. So it was dumb.
All right, and then on to the main event. Of course, the first women's main event, a triple threat. Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. And Charlotte Flair. Now, I know you've got opinions on this. What's your opinion on the Rowdy moniker being slapped onto Ronda Rousey?
It's disrespect. 100% disrespect to Roddy.
Has it really ever happened with anyone else before? Like, they didn't have any prior relationship. She's not Scottish. No. She's not Canadian, which, you know, Piper was. Like, I don't understand it.
No. It was... Honestly, my opinion is just it's pure disrespect. They reused it because it made sense with her name. It's the only reason.
Yeah, now look, I'm guilty.
And then obviously because she's Rowdy, her finisher, Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I don't think, come up with
a better name.
I don't think Rowdy Roddy ever used that, but I don't think he actually used ever a move ever, Roddy Piper. I think he punched and slapped and maybe dropped one suplex in his entire career. I did like the fact that Joan Jett was there playing the entrance song for Rousey, Bad Reputation Live. I always like when that happens. Yeah, back when Motorhead would do it for Triple H. I think that's pretty cool. Unfortunately, we never got to see Limp Bizkit play Undertaker's Rollin' live. That would have been... Or did we? Don't tell me we ever got that live. I haven't seen it
I don't know. Oh. If we have, it's the best.
And then Charlotte arrives, of course, by a helicopter. Yep, that was fine. That seemed to take forever. That dragged out, that arrival. And then I want
to
talk...
Obviously, though, that was there so that they could set up Joan Jett.
Ah, that is true. That is true. Look, the match was good. Look, these girls are all fantastic at what they do, like really high-class wrestlers, always entertaining. But I want to talk about the ending, Ben, because, as you said, Rousey got the Piper's Pit onto Lynch, and then somehow Lynch got the pin. But it was as clear as day that her shoulders weren't even touching the mat. Now... There was no... The commentators announced it, or they acknowledged it. Hey, I'm not sure her shoulder was down. And then nothing. And then it wasn't like, the title's got to be vacated, there's got to be rematches. It was clearly not down. It's just like, oh, well, bad luck. And then Rousey disappeared after that for a bit. That was an absolute botch. It was not deliberate. Because if it had been deliberate, we would have seen it go on forever. And it would have been, here's a tournament for the women's title. Here's a best of seven rematch series or something. Because they didn't mean this to happen. They just didn't get her shoulders down and they counted it through. And they just screwed up the finish to WrestleMania.
Yep.
Because I hadn't seen this because I hadn't really been watching wrestling much over the last year or so. And I watched this first one, her shoulder's definitely not down. Like, what's going on? I just have to go research to figure out, was this meant? Did they mean to do this? How did it carry on? But it was like, no, that was just a pin and just a referee error. And it was just a terrible botch to the end of what was obviously an historic night with the women having that main event and deservedly so having the main event and putting on a really good match. But what a terrible finish.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it ruined a bit of the mania for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and it doesn't completely dampen Becky Lynch getting that win and getting both belts. And also, why does she get both belts when in the past when they do champion versus champion, WrestleMania 6, Hulk versus Warrior, he had to give up one of the belts. Why does she get to keep both of them? I know you probably don't know the answer. Just there's
she didn't have any of them.
Oh, then she got to hold both of them though.
Because they made it a winner take all match.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I get that there. All right.
So and it was triple threat, so that meant no disqualification. We got tables.
Yes,
and
we did.
This was weird because the table didn't fully snap when they chucked Charlotte into it. It just sort of dented.
there was a few of those. I felt like there was just a lot of malfunctions.
Yeah.
There's the tables, there's the announce table, there was camera angles, there was weird Lesnar walking back to the locker room, all that sort of stuff was pretty weird. That'll do it for us on WrestleMania, Ben. We are pumped to watch WrestleMania 36 next week, even though there'll be no crowd in attendance. You'll be ready
to watch
all six plus hours or however long it goes for, we sat down and rewatched this one today. Thank you for coming on to do a full show. You've come on in little spurts before onto the podcast.
Yeah.
Coming on and doing this as we are self-isolating at the moment here due to the old corona. So, Ben, thank you again for coming on.
It's all right. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thank you for doing this podcast. It was a great talk.
All right, guys, that will do it for today. I know that, you know, wrestling isn't going to be everyone's wheelhouse. I'm just doing things, trying a few experimental things. Hey, and if you didn't like this episode, you don't have to listen to it. Just download it anyway. Just Ben wanted to come on. We wanted to talk wrestling. So we did it because we've got plenty of time to fill out. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.